Greetings, Frax Libris on Air. This is J. Douglas Barker. The book, written by author Peter DeChristopher, is a unique title and one that I'm going to have him explain. It's titled Pangea. Welcome to the program, sir.
Thank you, Jay. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Over 312 pages, I understand your process for writing is not typical. In other words, you don't have necessarily an outline. Maybe you have sketty or meatballs or something the night before, and it kind of gives you a head start in maybe coming up with a storyline. How would you describe the process of writing this book?
Basically, what I do is I'm writing off the cuff. You have an idea, I jot it down, I think of how I'm going to enhance on it, and it's basically written page by page. Nothing's really set in stone. A lot of changes are made, a lot of editing is done page by page.
That's an amazing process. I talked to some authors that have, you know, extensive notes down to the periods, semicolons, and quotation marks. Others write as you do, inspirationally. They sit down, and all of a sudden an idea comes to them. They want to incorporate it into the book. Was there any challenges in getting this storyline straight? In other words, when you're down to, say, a page 100, and then you're at page 240, mm-hmm. do you have flashbacks to what you have already written and decide from there, or how do you go about that?
Exactly right. What I try to do is I keep a log of all the characters, all the descriptions, and everything that they've done within the book. And what I try to do is once I go back and relate to them, we come up with new situations where they can be added in. And we have main characters in the book, but there are so many other small parts and other characters, which is why if you look at the index of the books of characters and places, it's 17 pages long.
Wow. Wow. A lot of creativity, in obviously, in this process. How long did it take to write 300 and some pages? Is that one page a day or one page every 4 or 5 days? How would you describe that process?
It's funny because I don't write 8 hours a day. My eyes are shot after 3 or 4 hours because I guess I was 21, it wouldn't bother me, but since I'm not, it winds up being a little tedious. So I write 3-4 hours a day, not necessarily every day. This book took almost a year to write.
Incredible. 300 and some pages. What is the basic concept? I understand you're in a fantasy world, I guess, with the cover, the way it's described, or way it's the artwork is. Who's your main character, and is there anything about the plot that you can share?
Sure. The book is titled Pangea. Pangea is a single supercontinent. If you look at the history of our world, Pangea was done hundreds of millions of years ago before we had continental drift, where the continents moved away from each other. In this case, the continents were apart and they converged together to formed a single supercontinent called Pangea. The book is based basically on like a medieval time, even though it's based in a sombrero galaxy, which was created 13 billion years ago. They have not progressed technologically because of the amount of creatures and the size of these creatures. Reason being that the oxygen levels, like in Earth here, our oxygen levels are basically 21% of the gases in a year. Nitrogen makes up 78%. In Pangea, the oxygen levels are at about 45%, which allows the creatures to grow larger, live longer. Years are not measured in years. They're measured in seasons because of the long lifespans.
So what you're telling me is there's no motorcycle chases or automobile wrecks in this novel.
Not unless you use a lot of them on the back of swords and bows and arrows.
Yeah. Is there one exciting scene that maybe, let's say I'm a Hollywood movie producer, mm-hmm. which I think probably mm-hmm. in the back of your line, you think this might work well in that setting. What's the most exciting scene that you created?
There are so many exciting scenes in here. There's a lot of blood, there's a lot of gore, there's a lot of killing and things along those lines, but it's done to represent the times that they live in. There are many particular scenes. One particular scene is when they're approaching the final battle, and the final battle is done between, there was a coalition of centaurs, little elves, 3-foot-high elves called Waros, And a human-like creature is called Terrans, only the Terrans are much taller. They're 9 to 12 feet tall. Mm. They have the final battle in what is called the Dark Tower, which where we have the disciple of evil, and I never give evil a name. Evil is just evil. I don't think evil should deserve a name.
Yes.
But his disciple, Abaddon, leads the army in the Dark Tower to fight against the coalition that's trying to preserve the goodness of Pangaea. And how the battle goes on, and the characters such as there is called the White Witch or the Sorceress Isolde. And she is in a group with two Warros, which are the little elves, and they are being led by what is called a Daka. And the Daka is a little creature about 12 inches high that's familiar with the caves that's underneath the actual citadel. And how they go through it and how they fight and how the battle ensues on the plains in front of the citadel. And it winds up being very long, very bloody. But in the end, Isolde is able to conquer the evil lord and send him back to the underworld.
If this were a movie, would you describe it as a PG, PG-13, R? How would you describe that?
I would describe it as PG-13. There's a lot of blood. There's a lot of gore. But there's not much language in it at all. There's not much cursing. There's very, very little of that. There's no sex. There's no. It's basically an adventure movie.
And the main companion for your primary character, I'm assuming transportation is horses, or have you also created a mythical transportation mode?
There's basically horses, and there are basically two types of horses. Because of the size of the Terrans, they ride what's called a draft horse. There's also a secret society called the Daughters of Shayla, which are an assassin group which have teamed with them, which ride what's called Lambo ponies. Lambo ponies are very, very rare. They're only bred by Artemis the Dwarf, which is done in the Corona Mountains. And they ride these ponies, which are the fastest horses on the supercontinent.
Your writing style, would you describe that basically as conversational? I know that a lot of your characters do have conversations and dialogue that goes between them. Would you say this is an easy read, since you mentioned that maybe a young adult could read this and enjoy the adventure?
I would say this is more geared toward a young adult than the middle age. Generally, what I found, and with the older people, senior citizens, they're more into documentaries, they're more into things like that. This is for people that enjoy the movies such as Star Wars or Aquaman and things like that, where you can live in a fantasy world and just escape. And that's the whole idea when I read. When I read, I want to escape. I want to forget about what's going on in the world of today because there's so much happening. And you just want to drift in and enjoy what you're reading.
That sounds like a plan. Most of us do need an escape hatch somewhere. You mentioned one of your dialogues talks about the temperature dropping to 294 Kelvins. What's a Kelvin for my listeners?
A Kelvin is a scientific description of temperatures. We know of Fahrenheit, we know of Celsius, but a Kelvin is a scientific measurement of the atmosphere and in space and things along those lines. I try to be a little more scientific in it, is because, you know, even at my age, I'm back in college. Because when you were younger, you go to school, you want to make a living, so you want to study things where you can earn money. When you get older and you go back to school, like myself, you want to study what you always loved.
Mm.
And what I study in college now is archaeology and geology. And I use a lot of scientific terms in here, which is good because if people are interested in knowing some of what they are, they can reference them. Which I use, for example, like you said, with Kelvins, but I also use different, like the troposphere, the stratosphere, describing different parts of the air, where a beam of light or a flash would go up into the troposphere, and the troposphere being the first layer of atmosphere on the planet, whereas the stratosphere would be the highest on the planet.
Interesting. You, I think, if I'm understanding your bio correctly, and I may be thinking of another author, but in your first venture in college, did you not receive some inspiration about writing, or is that someone else I'm thinking of?
Must be somebody else, because what I studied in college was how to be a mortician, and that wouldn't really give me any inspiration. Okay,
not in a good way, I don't think. I mean, not that I'm against morticians, because I do have friends that are in that industry or have been in that industry. Your book again is an adventure, exciting adventure. Is there anything that was difficult besides the fact that you are creating on the fly, as you've described it, or on the cuff? Was there anything else that was difficult to get this together for a publication?
It's just trying to get everything in succession and in the right succession. You want to be able to do sentences that are constructive and descriptive. And I use a lot of description, and everything is explained in here. There is nothing where people say, what the heck is he talking about? you know what I'm saying? If, for example, there's one part of the book where they're in the dark forest and they come across what's called giant mole rats. And the giant people are like, what's giant mole rats? Well, I describe them all the way through. But also in the back of the book, in the index, there's all references on everything where people can refer to get even a clearer description.
Well, that's a great idea. Great idea. How many books have you written? Is this your first venture?
This is my first venture. I do write a lot of short stories, and the short stories are on my website at peterdechristopher.com. And the short stories are basically horror-type stories, suspense-type stories. But this is the first venture I've done into a longer novel-type book.
Well, it's an exciting start for certain. And what is your long-term hope besides selling everything and making a mint off of this? Are you wanting to write additional dialogue or maybe some scripts of some type?
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that, because the publisher and everybody's been really bugging me to do a second book and a follow-up on this, which I am actually working on now. I'm about at 63,000 words, about 120 pages on it. And it's a follow-up. It's taking the characters in a different aspect of it with a different goal. And it's wound up being, I think, just as good as this book turned out to be.
Well, exciting. And you've kept the characters. You haven't done away with any of your main characters then in your first book here. And they have a life beyond. Yes.
I've added so many more new characters and new type of creatures.
Incredible. You have a what would be described as a creative mind, and beautifully done. This book, again, is over 300 pages, so it's an amazing accomplishment for a first edition or first venture into the publishing world. The title of the book, again, is Pangea. My guest author, Peter DeChristopher. Sir, where do we get copies of this?
You can purchase this basically on Amazon.com. It can also be purchased on BarnesandNoble.com. And, of course, through the publisher, exlibris.com.
You have a website. Tell us how to get in touch with you or find out more about your ventures.
Sure. My website is peterdechristopher.com. And that you can see all. You can read the first five pages of Pangea. You can also download the short stories that are on there for free. I believe in, if people like your style of writing and like what you're saying, then maybe they'll be able to purchase the book. So they can read all the short stories for free.
Excellent.
And I'm trying to build a fan base where people like the style of writing and like the idea of what I'm writing itself.
Well, Pete, thank you so much for sharing an exciting and interesting insight into this, your first major novel, Pangea. Thanks again for being a part of today's program.
I thank you, Jay, and I appreciate everything that you've done.
Oh, my pleasure. For Ex Libris On Air, this is J. Douglas Barker.